This recording is from Christ Kingdom Church in Waterford Lakes, East Orlando. Visit us online at christkingdom.org for our calendar, driving directions, and more audio recordings.
Well, again, good morning. If you haven't already taken out your bulletin and looked at the insert that is in there, that might be helpful, a sermon outline. The scripture text we're not going to read this morning because it actually is two chapters long. It appears in 2 Kings and in 2 Chronicles as well, the story of King Josiah. So I'm going to give you a brief summary of it in just a minute here, but just wanted to draw your attention to that. That insert might be helpful. How many of you like movies? I'm just curious. Show of hands, how many of you like movies? Okay, again, just about everybody, unless you're not paying attention at this moment, and that's okay. I remember growing up as a kid, movies, you know, were kind of a rare occasional thing that you got a chance to do, and, you know, you kind of planned ahead of time and saved up your money for a big movie coming up. But with the advancement of streaming videos, Netflix and so on, I bet movies take up or have a part of at least everybody's week here, or maybe everybody's day in some way, shape, or form, because you can even watch right TV shows on those things now. But the best movies, if you look back and scan through your kind of list of the ones that may be at the top of your list, I bet the best movies for you are ones that either touch upon a fantasy or dream or desire. Might be something like the Apollo 13 movie, or I think it was called, the one that with them going to Tom Hanks and going around the moon and all that kind of stuff there. There's something, if you grew up wanting to be an astronaut, that was a movie that really connected. Or maybe it was Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Gosh, to be stuck in a chocolate factory. The Fantastic Four, Field of Dreams. There's a fun one there if you like baseball. Maybe it's a movie that filled you with hope over life's obstacles or challenges or fears. Think of the movie recently, Argo, or The Help, or Good Will Hunting, or even Rocky from years ago. We love stories there that talk about somebody coming from challenges and to achieve and go beyond those. Or maybe it's a movie that causes you to think deeper about truth, deeper about your own personal values. Movies like Les Miserables, or Cinderella Man, or The Blind Side. There's something about that you just thought, you know, there's a principle behind that movie that's important, that's meaningful. Well, I believe the best movies, each of them have some kind of an anchor in your reality, and in reality, with a picture of something that's hopeful, a desire, a hopeful desire for a future reality. There's something that connects in those movies that we like the most. And I believe that that reflects something about what it means beyond just what entertains us, but what it means to be a human being. Something that touches each of us on a deeper level. I believe there's something that resonates in our soul that knows we are on a journey while we live here and walk around on planet Earth. While life looks often like a tapestry on one side, where all you see is a bunch of threads coming out and unwoven and unconnected, when you flip that tapestry over and see an incredible picture that's created by it, similar to that, life in certain moments looks like that threaded side of the tapestry, but then we get glimpse, we look back on things, we look how we've developed and how we've grown, we look to how life stories have connected together and made a bigger picture, and we can look back, especially those of us who believe in God, who are followers of Jesus Christ, we can look back and go, ah, I kind of get an idea of what God's doing and how it's working and how he's using things in my life. There's something about that, and movies help unlock some of those things for us. Movies are powerful because they tell a story. And stories are incredibly powerful. And Josiah, like every one of us, had a story. People were already writing his story. He becomes king at age 8. Pretty young for a king. Not too, maybe all different from Prince George of Cambridge, who's just been born now and is a future king to reign. He has no idea that his story, his days in many ways, have already been written and planned in lots of different ways. Well, that was true for Josiah as well. So let me take a moment here to give a summary of that story. Again, too long to read in its fullness, but if you want to look at either one of those passages, and some of you might be familiar with this if you've read Josiah's story before. One, his story begins actually going back to 1 Kings chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. 300 years before Josiah is even born, it's prophesied that a king would come one day named Josiah. Let me read verses 1 and 2 of 1 Kings chapter 13. By the word of the Lord, a man of God came from Judah to Bethel. As Jeroboam was standing by the altar to make an offering, by the word of the Lord, he cried out against the altar, Alter, alter, this is what the Lord says. A son named Josiah will be born to the house of David. On you he will sacrifice the priest of the high places who make offerings here, and human bones will be burned on you. 300 years earlier, by name, it's prophesied that a king from the house of David named Josiah will come. If you know your history a little bit there, you know Jeroboam was one of the ones who would be the first king of the king of Israel. The tribe, the nation of Israel, is being divided from the northern tribes to the southern tribes. And Jeroboam is leading the way and beginning the way of idolatrous worship, rebellion against God. And here comes a judgment against what's going to happen there in Bethel, which will be fulfilled, as we'll talk about in just a second. Well, Josiah was the son of King Amon, but 300 years later. King Amon was a king of Judah. King Amon had done evil in the eyes of the Lord and was disliked even by his own officials. So disliked that after only reigning 2 years, he is actually assassinated by them at age 24. Josiah is 8 years old when he became king. That meant his father was 16 when he was born. Josiah reigned for 31 years. He grew up fatherless. Since he was only a boy, his mother, Jedidah, and other godly men told him stories about Abraham, Moses, and David. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Both Kings and Chronicles gives us that account. He began to seek God, the God of his father David, when he was only 16 years old, 8 years into his reign. When he was 20 years old, he attacked the idolatry of Judah and purged the country of all the pagan altars and idols. His success in Judah led him into the areas of Manasseh, Ephraim, and as far north as Naphtali, where he instituted the same reforms. When he was 26, he began repairs on the temple. While repairing the temple, Hilkiah, the high priest, found the book of the law, actually the book of Deuteronomy, that had been given through Moses in the temple. Josiah had him read it to him. Josiah tore his robes when he heard parts of the book, because he knew that despite the reforms he was trying to instill, the country was still far off the mark of obeying God's commands. He was concerned that he was so concerned that he insisted on verification that these truly were divine words. The high priest and others went to the prophetess, Huldah, to verify the authenticity of the book and to inquire of the Lord's intention. What did she say? She told them that because Josiah had humbled himself, the calamities foretold in the book would not happen during his lifetime, but later. Then the king read the entire book to all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. He renewed the covenant and made everyone pledge their faithfulness to it. Josiah provided 30,000 sheep and 3,000 cattle of his own to celebrate the Passover. It was the first time the Passover had ever been celebrated like that since the days of Samuel, the text tells us. Just when everything was in order, though, Josiah made a huge mistake that would cost him his life. The king of Egypt wanted a passage through his land on his way to help Assyria. Joseph refused and went out to meet him in battle. The king told Josiah that he had no battle with him, that God was with the king, and that if he didn't cooperate, God would destroy Josiah. Josiah turned a deaf ear to the king's warning and met him in battle. Josiah wore a disguise, thinking that would keep him safe. Instead, he was wounded in battle and died soon afterwards. Jeremiah the prophet composed laments for Josiah. With Josiah's death, any hope of a united Israel seemed to fade away. Well, there's a recap, 2 chapters worth of his life that you can read about there in Kings and in Chronicles. But here's the point I want you to specifically remember today. Don't forget to remember. Don't forget to remember. I'll explain more what I mean as we look at point number one this morning specifically. Hear his forgotten story. Hear his forgotten story. I remember the movie that had the biggest impact on my life growing up was a movie called Star Wars, featuring a character called Luke Skywalker. And there's something about him as the story begins in that very first movie, and I'm sure everybody here has probably seen it, that he is going on with his life. He has this sense of destiny, right? That he was kind of made for something more. He's living with his uncle and aunt and doesn't know a whole lot of information about his father and where he's come from or why he's here and what's the future hold and things like that, until he meets this old fogey guy named Ben Kenobi. And what does Ben Kenobi do? He tells him a story. He tells him about his father. He tells him about the power of good and the power of evil. And he casts a vision for him about how his story might have a place in the bigger story going on there. Stories are often forgotten. Luke Skywalker's was forgotten, unknown to him, until he heard it. Josiah heard his story. His mother told him, "Don't forget to remember." Well, we already read that Josiah was made king at age 8. And by age 16, the text tells us in 2 Chronicles 34:3 this: "In the 8th year of his reign," so he was 16 years old, "while he was still young, he began to seek the God of his father David." So the question I have for you today is, why would Josiah at age 16 have begun to seek the God of his father David? What prompted that? What encouraged that? I think we get the clue that a mother who took great concern in his life to share the story. Jedidah, his mother that's mentioned there, kind of stands out because most of the stories of the kings, you don't get much attention about the mother. You might hear who he's the son of and so on like that, but the fact that she's mentioned by name gives us a clue here that the writer of Kings wants you to know that this was important. His father, we know, is assassinated while he's still very young, out of his life. He's age 8 when that happens. So between his mother and maybe other godly men that were around him, we know somehow he must have been hearing the story. He must have heard about some king named David and some promise. He must have begun to understand that his life had meaning and purpose. Josiah had to be told by his mother that about somebody named Adam and Eve, how sin had entered the world, and there was a promise of a Messiah to come. Somebody told him probably about Abraham and the people of a promise that God had raised and started this great nation from a promise. Somebody probably told Josiah about Moses and a land of promise, that one day he would go and be there, and now he was there now in that land. Somebody no doubt told him about David and a kingdom of promise. Josiah hears his forgotten story. His mother no doubt told him, "Don't forget to remember." Just as a side note, by the way, let me say here, parents, if you are a parent, if you're a future parent, what a great privilege and responsibility that we have to share the story of God to our children. Stories in the Bible, timeless ones, infallible, inerrant, and stories from your own life of how you've seen God work and move. We need to share those stories. Our children need to hear them. Josiah heard it. So my question is, do you hear it this morning? You know, I believe the Holy Spirit whispers the same message throughout time to all those who are willing to stop and listen. Don't forget to remember. Well, Terrell Brown, San Francisco's 49er cornerback, had a chance to experience a little bit of that here this week. He lost a $2 million workout bonus. You might read about this in the news. Very interesting. All because his agent forgot to tell him the little detail that you must show up for the first day of practice as a team, or you forfeit your $2 million bonus. And the poor guy is going to only make like $900,000 this year for playing sports. How did he hear about it? On Twitter. Reading his Twitter account, he found out. That's how he even found out about it in the first place. He heard part of his story, and it interrupted and changed everything. And obviously, that agent doesn't work for him anymore, and there's probably more news to come from that story. But there's something that powerful that happens when you hear your story. I believe there is something that resonates in our soul that knows that we are on a journey while we live here on earth. We know that we aren't where we're supposed to be. We know there's some place to go. We know there is something that draws us out in search of it. We know something pulls us forward. We know intuitively that there is a story that we're part of. And it's why we look for purpose in life. It's why we look for enduring love. It's why our children, we want them to have something better than we did one day. Because we believe there is a story. We believe that love does conquer evil, most of us deep down. We believe that justice is simply right, most of us. We believe compassion is a sign of strength, not weakness. We believe caring for our family and friends is something to cherish, not a burden. We believe hard work is not to be avoided, but embraced. We believe that some things are really just wrong and some things are just right. We have a responsibility for the world that we live in. There's really a purpose to life, well beyond survival of the fittest, no matter what the evolutionists would want to teach us. Now, we may not want to hear the part that there is a sovereign God who is justly leading and will one day bring judgment upon this world, but we don't want to abandon something deeper that makes each of us human, that we think is worth fighting for, maybe even dying for, that we want to see passed on to our children, to our grandchildren, especially if you live in this country. You've begun to know there are things that really do matter, that are important. It's the voice of the Spirit whispering, don't forget to remember. But it's the whole story. To hear the story. But that alone was not enough for Josiah. And by the way, it's not enough for you and for me. It will never satisfy deeply what we're longing for. Josiah did something else. He embraced it. Embrace your forgotten story. Embrace it. Another very popular movie, especially with my kids, was The Lion King. Remember Simba? Simba finally, one day, right, took his place in the circle of life. But no, it was a very difficult story for this little lion cub, right? Growing up, everything was working, looking and doing fine until his father was taken away from him in a tragic accident, right? He's told the story over and over again as he's wandered, as he feels the guilt for it, the responsibility for it, and runs from it. Over and over, he's told that he must take his place in the circle of life, his place as the future king. He's told over and over again, and even by his own father's ghost or whatever coming back, saying, you must remember who you are, Simba. He finally embraces it by returning to the pride land, or what's left of it. But it's a turning point in the story. Josiah had a similar decision. It's one thing to hear. It's one thing to have it pumped into your brain. It's one thing to hear about it Christmas and Easter. It's another thing to embrace it. And many kings, most of the kings, would have heard the story of Abraham and Moses and David, and maybe even sung their praises. But most of the kings that reigned in Israel and Judah did not embrace it. Not true for Josiah. He embraced it. 2 Chronicles 34:3 again says, in the eighth year of his reign, while he was still young, he began to seek the God of his father, Amon. Is that what it says? No. David. His father did not, Amon, did not follow in the ways of the Lord. That probably led to his assassination after only 2 years of reigning. But there was a reorientation when Josiah embraced his story. It was his father, David, that he began to model his life after and look towards, not his father, Amon. By age 16, Josiah had decided to embrace God's story for his own. So my question for you this morning is, have you embraced God's story as your own? Somewhere along the way, I think each of us must decide if we're going to just hear the story or actually own it. I was reading about just this week, a 27-year-old named Tim Harris. Tim Harris was born with Down syndrome. Tim Harris decided that he wasn't going to let Down syndrome be his final definition of who he was and his story. I bet most of us here have met somebody or maybe even know somebody or somebody in our family that has had Down syndrome or is living with that reality of that disease. Amazing people they are. Well, Tim had a dream to be independent. Tim had a dream to start his own restaurant. And Tim did. Tim owns Tim's Place Restaurant. Let me read you a quote from CNN of Tim speaking. He said, after college, I knew I wanted to live on my own. I love my parents a lot, but I want to have my own life. In July of 2010, I moved into my own apartment. I shop for my own groceries, do my own laundry, and pay all of my own bills. I love living in my own place. And lucky me, it's right next door to my restaurant. I bet you wish you could walk to work in 2 minutes. For over 10 years, I had a dream to own my own business. Well, I'm here to tell you that dreams do come true. I am the owner of Tim's Place. located in Albuquerque, New Mexico. My favorite part of the workday is giving out free Tim Hugs. They are on my menu, and most people order at least one. So far, I've given out nearly 40,000 hugs, and I even have a counter on the wall to keep track of the total. I guess you can say I'm a lean, mean, hugging machine. Tim had a story, and Down syndrome will define your story, but Tim chose to embrace a higher story for his life. And now Tim's life touches all those that know him, and has even touched you, I bet, this morning here in Orlando, Florida. Jesus, talking to the religious leaders himself, reaches out and he says in Matthew 23:37, this is Jesus' words. He says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing." That's the heart of the Son of God who came here to earth. Those same religious leaders, by the way, who would condemn him, who would crucify him on the cross, with the passive stand-byers of Jerusalem who let it happen. With his own disciples who would pretend they didn't even know him. That was his heart. God reaches out to embrace us and invites us to embrace him in return. A higher story, the true story, the greater story, the one that will connect the dots of your life to wonder, how's all this fit together? How can the things I'm reading about in textbooks or in the news or from friends and hearing about it or the political circles that I run in, how can we make sense of this world around us if there's not a sovereign, loving God who really will make all wrongs right one day, who will really bring ultimate justice when our courts seem to not be able to find it, who really does hear the widow and the orphan, who hears your cries and knows your pain? It's not easy to embrace God's story, let's just be honest. It takes at least two things. One, it takes humility, because God's story that he invites you to embrace is that you are in trouble. You're on a pathway that leads to death. And bigger problem is that you think it's a pathway to life. We talked about this verse last week. Broad is the path that leads to destruction, but narrow is the way that leads to life, and few will find it. God's story comes and says, look, you're in trouble if you continue on the path that you will naturally take by yourself. You're in trouble if you continue on the path that you hear about in TV or read about in Barnes & Noble books that you pick up at random, or that your friends think about it at the coffee shop as you figure out life's problems. If you leave it to yourself, you are in trouble, because there's something broken inside of you. Because your heart's not right. Therefore, your brain's not right. You need a renewed mind. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans 12. You need to realize that you have a sin problem that you can't deal with on your own. And whoever thought of one of the greatest lies ever, that your good deeds could possibly ever outweigh your bad deeds? Really? Then you have a very, very low definition of what a bad deed is and what a good deed is. God sees our hearts. He sees our motives. He's perfect. He's holy. Next time you hear somebody make a moral argument and discussion, whether religion's involved with it or not, ask yourself how many times the holiness of God comes up in the discussion. Now, the Bible might come up, values, ethics might come up, but ask yourself how many times you hear the holiness of God come up, and it will be almost zero. Because that's a game changer. When God says, be holy because I am holy, it changes everything. God created us as image bearers to reflect whose image? Not us, but his. And it takes it from your personal judgment to who it is that's created the universe, who it is that sent his son to die for you, who it is that is creating a new heavens and a new earth. Don't forget to remember hear the story, embrace the story. It requires humility and it requires surrender. You have to surrender your life to a new story. But he invites you to do that. Third, don't just hear the story. Don't just embrace the story. Join the forgotten story. Another one of my favorite movies, at least the first one of The Matrix. You know, Neo, the main character in that story, he becomes aware. I mean, he's been sensing it, right, all his life, that there is some other story out there. But at some point in that movie, and kids, it's not a movie for young kids, let me clarify that. But at some point, he realizes he's enlightened that there is a whole nother story out there for him to take part in. Right? And he's given the famous scene choice between a blue pill and a red pill. One pill, you can go back to sleep. It's like nothing ever happened. It remains a dream world. Another one, you see how deep the rabbit hole goes. And you embrace reality. You join the story. Well, if you like that movie, you're glad he took the red pill, right? He decided to join the story. Josiah decided to join the story. We're told when he turns 20 years old, we see Josiah more than just seeking the Lord, he starts to take action. 2 Chronicles 34, verse 3 through 7. In the 12th year of his reign, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of high places, Asherah poles and idols. Under his direction, the altars of the Baals were torn down. He cut to pieces the incense altars that were above them and smashed the Asherah poles and the idols. These he broke to pieces and scattered over the graves of those who had sacrificed to them. He burned the bones of the priests on their altars, and so he purged Judah and Jerusalem and the towns of Manasseh, Ephraim, and Simeon as far as Naphtali and in the ruins around them. He tore down the altars and all the Asherah poles and crushed the idols to powder and cut to pieces all the incense altars throughout Israel. Then he went back to Jerusalem. By the way, fulfilling the prophecy in 1 Kings 13, that one named Josiah would come and do just that. Remembering the story means hearing it, it means embracing it, and it means joining it. One of my other favorite movies, stories, plays, Les Miserables. Remember the story of Jean Valjean, and I imagine most of you have seen one of the versions of the movies, if not the one this past year, so you're kind of familiar with the story here. Well, Jean Valjean has a hard decision to make. After running, having escaped escaping from wrath and breaking his parole the law following him all his days, he has a huge choice to make, right, in the movie, of whether or not he is going to join a different story. He's been living out his own story of trying to hide and survive and make it happen and keep undisclosed who he really is. But as we know, the story, right, with Cosette and Marius, he comes to reality here that if he wants to come in and really save his daughter and be a part of her story and help promote her story, he's going to have to risk it. He's going to have to risk self-exposure, which he does, to save Marius, to make sure the two of them have the possibility of a life together, for them to be free of the wrath and judgment that continues to haunt and follow him. He comes and he joins it, and it meant taking risk and taking action that almost takes his own life in the process. You know you have joined the story when your thoughts, when your decisions, when your actions begin to flow out of a new story. You know it's begun to happen. John Newton, famous slave trader, author of Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Yeah, that guy. The guy who had devoted much of his life to the slave industry in one way, shape, or form. We know that he comes to know, to hear the story, to come embrace the story, to come and join the story. As later in his life, as his faith matures, he comes to the place to fight against the very thing that had given him his wealth at the time. And he becomes an advocate against slavery. He joins with William Wilberforce and others you maybe have read and heard about to come fight against that. And he writes that amazing song that describes the grace that he experienced, that he wanted to share the world around him. It was evidence, his life changed, that he had joined a different story than the one he had started living. You know, I think it's one interesting thing that the scriptures give us an example with marriage here on earth to say that this is a picture on earth between a man and a woman of what it's supposed to be like between God and his church. Ephesians 5 works very hard. Paul is writing there saying that husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church, and wives are to respect their husbands as the church is to respect Christ, and so on. He gives this picture here that relationship is a picture of how a relationship as the people of God is to be with God. I remember when I got married, life decisions ran through a completely different grid than they had before I was married. Raise your hand if you're married. Raise your hand if you can relate. Completely different grid now, right, than before you're married. Evan, Lauren, you guys coming up on first anniversary. True or not true? Yeah, you better say true, Evan. Yeah. My habits, practices at home changed. Okay? The paint colors of the first apartment were different than what they would have been if it was just me. My calendar changed. My weekend plans were somewhat already predetermined. My checkbook changed. There was no longer buying gas for one car, but now there was two cars to buy gas for. My holidays changed. I had a whole other family to celebrate the holidays with. And these things have been blessings, but there was a change that happened, a good change. But it was evidence that there was a new story that had been joined, a new one of our lives together. Everything changed because my life was joined with another. All the more so our lives are to change because we are joined with Jesus Christ. Your political views, let me say that again, your political views are to be determined not by your favorite political party, but by God and his word, primarily. Your schedule, it's not where can you fit God in, it's God owns it because he owns you. He's purchased you to himself out of love to save you from the pathway of sin and destruction that would surely follow from it. Your tithes, your offerings, your tithe is not because God gets 10%, it's because it's a reminder that God owns it all. And so we give him our first fruits, the first of what we have. God doesn't need your money. You need to know that God's money is yours and he owns it all. How you raise your children is not what's comfortable for you or what's most popular at the time. It's what will bring glory and honor to God. What will direct your children to see the same grace of God that you so richly need that they will need as well. Kids, your attitude towards your parents. There's certainly the cool way for it to be, the way your friends would want it to be at school, but God challenges you and raises you up to a much higher standard to honor your mother and father, that it may go well with you here on earth. How you think about your neighbors, what it means to love your enemies. When you're joined with Christ, it changes the story. It must. The Spirit calls you to don't forget to remember. Hear the story, embrace the story, join the story, and lastly, number four, share the forgotten story. Share the forgotten story. Again, one of my favorite movies, The Return of the King, Lord of the Rings trilogy, the last movie, Aragorn. It's not enough for him simply, which it is, it's his own journey, right? To hear the story, to embrace it, for it to become his story as he joins it. But in order for that last battle, for that last victory to happen in that movie, in that story, that incredible story, he must share the story and challenge others to partake as well. I love the quote there from one right before one of the fights there. Aragorn says, "Hold your ground. Hold your ground. Sons of Gondor, of Rohan, my brothers, I see in your eyes the same fear that would take the heart of me. A day may come when the courage of men fails, when we forsake our friends and break all bonds of fellowship, but it is not this day. An hour of wolves and shattered shields, when the age of men comes crashing down, but it is not this day. This day, we fight. By all that you hold dear on this good earth, I bid you stand, men of the West." I have chills down my back just reading it. God invites you to share the forgotten story. And in fact, you can't fully join with the story and fully appreciate the story until you share it. Because there's not a single one of us here that has anything good happen in your life that you're just content to have the most amazing thing in the world happen to you and not share it with anybody. Now, I know some of you are thinking, well, if I won the lottery, I probably wouldn't want to tell a lot of people. Yeah, you maybe wouldn't want to tell a lot of people, but let me tell you, you would want to tell at least one person if you won the lottery. You would, probably more, probably your whole family, whatever else. You can't have something amazing happen to you and you not want to invite others to share it with you because your joy would be minimized. That's why Paul says, make my joy complete by being of the same mind. Being like Christ. Paul wasn't content with just having the fulfillment, the joy that comes with the Spirit. He wanted others to know and share in it because it maximized his joy. If you're not sharing the story, then you're really buying into a different one. This story is good. The story is worth sharing. Josiah shared it. Listen to what he does in 2 Chronicles 34, 29 through 32. Then the king called together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. He went up to the temple of the Lord with the people of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests and the Levites, all the people from the least to the greatest. And what did he do? He read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant, which has been found in the temple of the Lord. The king stood by his pillar and renewed the covenant in the presence of the Lord to follow the Lord and keep his commands, statutes, and decrees with all his heart and all his soul and to obey the words of the covenant written in this book. Then he had everyone in Jerusalem and Benjamin pledge themselves to it. The people of Jerusalem did this in accordance with the covenant of God, the God of their ancestors. Don't forget, Josiah was told that the curse of the disobedience of the people of God would not fall on him in his day and age, that he would die and rest in peace. Josiah could have gone, whew, glad to hear that. And he could have put the life in neutral. Just said, well, I'm taken care of. Things are going to be fine in my lifetime. Why cause a ruckus? Why waste all this energy? Shoot, why send 30,000 of my sheep to be sacrificed? We could do 10. Not at all the kind of response. Why did renewal come to Judah at this point? Because renewal came to Josiah. And he had to share the story. Maybe he thought, who knows, God might relent if these people continue to follow him. Because God does that. Question I have for you this morning is, will you share it? Josiah did. Will you? I'm so glad that people who were placed in my life growing up, people who had influence over me, shared it. That I had a mom and dad that shared it. That I had a youth director named Tom May who shared the story with me. And by the way, so many times when we share, it's not literal words of, let me tell you a story. It's with the way they live their lives. It was a Tom May, is it just a little snotty-nosed kid in the corner that was probably just a big pain in his butt to try to reach out to. Little ninth grade pipsqueak kid who he said, hey, why don't you come to youth group this week? And when I was at youth group, he said, hey, come on in and get involved here. He called me up and said, hey, you want to play some tennis? I was not very good at tennis. It couldn't have been that much fun for Tom. Who said one day, hey, we got this huge 2-week bike trip through the Blue Ridge Mountains. I think you ought to come. He shared the story in action and reaching out and loving and caring for me. And a Burt Boykin did, another youth worker later on. And a guy named Tim Simpson in college, small group leader of mine. I had friends. It's not just people always influencing you. Sometimes it's just your friends. I had a friend like a Chris Johnson. He and I were both on this journey together, and by the way, who came to faith on that bike trip. And we shared the stories, the success, the problems, the disasters. I had people in my small group. Today I have a wife we can share the journey with, share the story. I have people that I have influence over. I have my children. I have a church. I have places where I have involvement. Share the story. Not just in words, but in life action. Don't forget to remember. Hear it. Embrace it. join with it and share it. Let's pray. God, I just ask that you would let this amazing story that you've called us, invited us to be a part of, God, to truly become our story. That your story might receive all the glory and honor. That we might lose ourselves, and as you say yourself, those that lose their lives will find it. That we might lose ourselves, this incredible selfish, self-centered worldview, to lose ourselves and the one who created us and designed us, who's creating a new heavens and a new earth for us to one day walk in and live in. God, thank you that the story was so important that you didn't just shout it from heaven. You didn't just send an angel, but you sent your son to walk, to be the living word that took on flesh and dwelt among us. And we have beheld his glory as the only one from the Father, full of grace and truth. And that you now pour out your spirit that invites us to join with and to become part of that story. So God, come, work, and move. God, come, transform us. Come, God, to those who have had no faith this morning, to let the seed of faith begin now. And God, for those who have been discouraged this morning, to be renewed with their hope. And God, for all of us who are hungry and thirsty, to come and realize that you are indeed the bread of life and the wine of celebration, that we celebrate what you have done for us and your calling. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.